You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 23 for a moment. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have bowed our head and heart, as it were, in your presence. So, Spirit of God, honor you, our Heavenly Father, by honoring our Lord. And our God, we're going to thank you even now just for being you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, as we proceeded, and we've been looking at David tells us how to have a heart for God and to proceed down the corridor of time when everything isn't going to turn out well at all. David's rule and reign is going to end up with bad kings, good kings, bad kings, but never a king like David. All the way down the corridor. So it's all going downhill. So David, you're going to set the pace for us. And he did. And we've been doing it to get the muscle and the sinew and the not just a word, not just a phrase, not just a chapter of the Bible, but to get a sense of the magnificence, which is what you're seeing if you're paying attention, of the greatness of this whole arrangement God has. Now, in order to help us and remind us, this is earth. This was once red earth. It isn't now. You can't see it back there. It's just dirt for you and me. That's what it is. And it was taken from out of the country. Someone brought it back to me because I wanted to get something that was more authentic. You are made of the dust of the ground. Now, God created you. You're the person inside. This is not you. This means this turns into what? Blood and brains and brawn and beauty and bones. It returns into feet and hands. It turns into that. This becomes this. We are made of the dust of the ground. Now that's an awesome thing. We're made of the dust of the ground. Now God, and because of Adam and Eve's sin, this dust of the ground has turned out very bad. By that I mean Genesis 3:19. From dust, we're made from dust, we are dust, we go back to dust. Now, having said that, what am I saying? I'm trying to get a handle on our existence. Here we are in time. We're born physically, we have a few days on earth, and then we go back to dust. Now, there has to be more than that. If we're made from this, there's no question. So you can't get too uppity up because this is all you are. Say, no, I'm not. I have a PhD and I'm head of the Joe's sweatshop. That's wonderful. But you're going to end up just like this. So no matter who you are and what you are, and no matter how long, 100 years or 100 days, you end up like this. That's the reality of life. We don't want to think about it. That's why we avoid death. We try to circumvent it in all kinds of ways. And the reality of it. Now, God, is there more to it than being made of the dust of the ground? You put us inside this body, and this body's going to go back to dust, just like this. Now, there must be more than that. If there isn't more than that, this is it. This is it. That's all you've got. And then the trouble is, you don't stay at a nice super age. You get age. You get older. The younger get older. And we older and they die. So there has to be, and there is. It isn't about here and now. So it isn't about food, and it is about activity, And it isn't about your job, your home, your house, your car, your future. It isn't about that on earth, from an earthly standpoint. It just isn't. And all you got to do is stand back and pay attention. But that's such as this is such a sobering thing. We aren't going to do that, are we? Not you guys. We just aren't going to do that. We don't want to think about that. Now, God, here's Dave setting the pace for us. And in Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's it's a verb. He is the shepherd. He continues to be the shepherd. He is the shepherd who's shepherding. That's what he's doing. So that we are not wanting. So David, so the believing heart. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, death's shadow, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now that's all wonderful. Now in the process, we share together, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So here we are, David, just think of yourself using David. David's walking, David's going through time on either side of him. In front of him is evil, darkness, death. Everything's around him. There's no good. He's surrounded by all the bad and dark and evil and death. He's surrounded by it, but he's going to keep going. Why? And God, do you want him to keep going? I do. How's he going to keep going? Well, God puts a table in front of him. He puts a table, but it isn't about the table. The table is there, and we've been sharing that. So we understand God has a wonderful plan for the believer's life, and God, as the chief cook, the only cook, it's his determination to what you eat and how you eat from a spiritual standpoint and even otherwise. And so here we go down the corridor and David, what we eat, and God chooses that. God chooses the menu. God makes the menu. God is the menu. God puts it all together so that we can go down the corridor. Now, God, and we shared together the table to show bread. We did all these things, but just in case you forget them, if you don't keep the pieces together, it won't come out. You've got pieces all over the place. Or you never had pieces. You weren't here. You didn't pay attention. It's over here, and you got nothing, and you're trying to fit the piece. It's hard to do, isn't it? Hard to do it. So with a little bit of repetition, maybe, it'll stay together. Now, and so here's the table of showbread. All they could see, remember, Israel, was the tent. They didn't want to see God face to face. That is God's intent. God's intent when he created you, and he died on the cross for you, and you're born physically, God introduces himself to the heart of every individual born on planet Earth. Romans chapter 1, 18, 19, 20, 21. God introduces himself, and the heart of that boy or girl, man or woman that's born has to decide, are they going to stay with God, look to God, move as they're prompted? Because they know, we've said it 1,000 times, they know that a kangaroo isn't God in Australia. They know that a totem pole isn't God on the island. Are they not? Everyone knows that. The tree isn't God, and the Buddha isn't God. Everyone knows that. But when you want to believe something and you believe it, then you believe it. So as a little child, I'm going to have to determine, what am I going to believe? Am I going to believe all the things I know, they aren't really true? I know they're not true, but my mom and dad believe them, and people believe them. Wow. And so I want to fit in. Don't you want to fit into the crowd? And so you start moving what is obvious to the not so obvious, and you go down the corridor, and pretty soon you think like the rest of us. And that's too bad. Now, Having said that, going down, God, and we don't want to do that. God intends us to know him face to face. That's the starting point when you're born and you're growing up, little 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old. Get to know him. That's the whole point, to know him directly, personally. That's what face to face means. We've been looking at him. They did not want to know God at Mount Sinai. They didn't mind knowing the Egyptians over there in Egypt and their gods. They even built them, built the gods. But when they crossed the Red Sea to go to Mount Sinai, and God introduced himself in a most magnificent way directly, they didn't want to see God, didn't want to hear God face to face. And that, whoop, that lost out as we shared all those things. So the tabernacle, the tent was there. All they could ever see is the outside of the tent. Skin. That's all. That's all they could see. Skin of an animal. Wow. That's all they could see. They never saw the insides. They never saw, in particular, the table of showbread. The table of showbread was to remind, was to what? Remind them. The bread, one loaf for every tribe. David, what tribe are you from? Judah. David, do you know that God, as your little boy with the lion and the bear and Goliath, are you able to understand? I am. What do you understand, David? God's an awesome God. He's my God. And my face, he has me in his face on the table of faces, the table of bread. The faces, show faces. On the table, the bread of faces. When God is looking, I'm there. I'm one of those little grains in those 6 quarts of wheat. On that, on top of that, on each loaf of bread, I'm one of those little grains, and I know I'm there. And God has me right smack in the middle of the tent, right in the middle of God, and that's what he intends. And I'm going to come to him just like that. I'm not going to be like them. Never get past the tent. Never pay attention to the message of the showbread. Now, having said that, and here's the table. And a wonderful, wonderful provision. We looked a little bit at it. God's wonderful ability to do everything that's needed for you and I, for us to develop and to grow. Not to grow up, not to have more flesh and blood. We're going to have that, of course, and God takes care of that. But it isn't about flesh and blood. It's about the insides, the person. This body is going right back to this. So if you're going to start saying, it doesn't matter. That doesn't mean you don't brush your teeth. It doesn't mean you don't do things. You do. Because you have to maintain the body within reason. But that's all it is. And we feed it and everything. So it isn't about food. No. Romans 14, 17. Flesh and blood. The kingdom of God isn't about eating and drinking. It's about God. It's about God's grace and God's peace and the joy of God's Holy Spirit. The wonderful joy of God. That's what being alive is. The wonderful joy of knowing and honoring God. Now, having said that, let me go back and you know in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God's at the starting point. And if we went over to the Gospel of John, which we've been, John chapter 1, verse 1, 1, 2, 3, in the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, etc. The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God's way to communicate and expose his wonderful person of God, the invisible, infinite, invisible God, in the wonderful exposure of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in front of us, if you would, so God, you're God. Now, what do we know? God's in the beginning, Romans 11:33. God's in the process, and when we're all done, God's at the end. It's all about God. Let me Lock that in. You need that. Over to Matthew 17. Matthew chapter 17. And let me, you know these things. I just wanted to have you see it with your eye if you can and lock it on, so when you're in the middle of nowhere, you'll look at lock it on and lock it, you'll see it and be able to look at it again and again and again. Here's Matthew chapter 17, Mount of Transfiguration. He meets God's up there. Peter, James, and John are up there with him. And Moses and Elijah are there. Moses representing the law. Elias or Elijah representing the prophets. There they are. All the Old Testament. All the Old Testament in its wonderful, wonderful fullness. Now, so there they are. And I'll read just a little. Verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, three more tents. Three more tents. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. In other words, we're going to camp out here. Why would we go back down when we're with you guys? Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, heard God speak, they fell on their face. Remember now, God is transfigured before him, so his face like the sun. And God speaks, This is my Son, God in the flesh. Now, verse 6, And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes to see, no mask, when they lifted up their eyes to see, they saw no man save or except Jesus only. Hang on to that. So here's the 39 books, the Old Testament. Here they are in front of you, 39 books. You got them. What am I supposed to do with those 39 books? I can read them, study them, memorize them. What's it about God? It's about me, said God. It's about me. It's about me, you know. Now, having said that a little bit, Jesus only, that's right. Now, over, if you can, to John and chapter 5. Again, you know, but if this can get to your heart, it'll be a awesome, wonderful thing. Chapter 5. And if I can, in chapter 5, verse 39. You know what it is, verse 39. And they want to know God, believe. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they had the Old Testament, that's what we're looking at. And they are they which testify of me. So when you're all done, when you're all done with the 39 books, and you memorized them, even had a little understanding, you end up with God. G-O-D. God. That's who you end up with. God. And if you took time, we aren't, if you took time in Luke 24 in that, and to the, remember to the disciples after his resurrection, he said, the law and the prophets, without any question, it's about me. Do it. Don't. It's not. Just say it. Luke 24. Luke 24, pick up verse 27. Well, I'm going to, And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, All these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So you're going to make it so there's no question. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Well, the scriptures about God. Okay, over to Colossians. Colossians. And in Colossians. And just reminding us, sliding down to verse 10. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God did something awesome. He made us part of his wonderful body, a very new creation. We're not Jew, we're not a Gentile, we're his church, his body, in a most wonderful way. That's how you get saved. That's the only way you get saved. The only way you can be saved is to believe. Got that part? The only way you can enjoy believing is be believing. Are you believing what you believe? If you don't believe, if you're not believing what you believe, then you aren't believing. You have to be believing it. Well, I believe that. You have to be believing it. That's the whole point. Whole point means you. I believe the face-to-face. I believe. That doesn't do this, does it? This is believing. Face-to-face. I believe. I'm believing. I'm believing. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're believing. It's a very active verb now. So therefore, that new creature, now you must go to verse 11. Where there is this new, being a new creature, having this oneness, there is neither Greek, Gentile, nor Jew, nor circumcision, nor uncircumcision, nor barbarian, nor Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all in all. Well, what happened? It's you. No, it isn't. It's him. It's God only in Christ. But. No, I didn't. No. David, what are you so excited about? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And here's the table. Wow, and all of it. But it is the table, what makes it work for David's face as he looks at the table and God's wonderful dealing with his life? It's God face to face in the presence of his enemies. Ah, wow, hang on. Now, it's up on God. If you didn't get that, let's drive the nail a little further. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Lord's telling you about his wonderful, wonderful purpose. And his wonderful purpose, picking up, please, verse 26 for background. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27. And he hath put all things, A-L-L, all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are under his feet, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, simple, easy to see, that he, God, is accepted. God isn't under his feet. He is God. He is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all, A-L-L, things shall be subdued, when all things shall be subdued, puts everything in order that's out of order, then shall the Son also himself be subject, the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ before God the Father, when he's done, will turn around in his perfect humanity before the living and invisible God. He'll say, it's all in order. It's all in a, Everything is put rightly in order. The end of verse 28. And put all things unto him that God may be all in all. That's what's about. So when you're done, and you make a whole lot of stuff about being alive and trying to get your job and your health and your family and everyone so-and-so, and you try to do that, and you put so much emphasis on it, and it's only for a moment, because the only thing we have is the present that we have a choice in. We have no choice tomorrow. We haven't got there. We don't even know what there is to choose. You can say, at 10 o'clock, I have this appointment. Well, you can say that. But until you get there, if you get there, you can't make any decision because you haven't got there yet. Now, so God, you're helping us wake up a little bit to the wonderful, wonderful reality that's real. From this, we're going to end back to this. And the cemeteries all fill up and everywhere with bodies, millions and zillions of bodies of animals and humans all going back to the dust, to the dust. That's a wonderful, wonderful understanding, because it isn't about me. It isn't about whether I eat or my table or how my life is. No, it's about you, God. You created us, and you died for us. You're the only God and only Savior. And the only one that gets glory, God, is you. And therefore, you say to us very simply, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please me. For he that cometh to God must believe that I am. He is. That's the starting point. Everything in between, that's the end. God. We're in his presence. It'll make sense. You understand? You're in his presence. And people ignore him. They're oblivious to his presence. Wow. And the world, like the Israel, face to face, you can't. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way to get to God. There is no way to know God, to know him face to face in a most awesome and wonderful, wonderful way. Now God, having said that and done that, and if I can, David, go back to David if I can. Go over with me, please, so you can see the little bit, I hope. Let's see if it comes out all right. Here we are over in, go where you were. You're in 1 Corinthians. Jump over to 2 Corinthians, not very far away. And it's going to say it so simply all the time if you want to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, picking up if I can, over, as you know, in verse 6, just bang it home till it sinks in. Not just because you say, I've had people say over the years, oh, I know that. And whenever I hear that, I know that, then I say, aha, you need to learn it. You would never say, I know it. Because when you do know it, when you really do know something, you know you don't know it, because it involves God. When do you exhaust John 3:16? In its what's it do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and yet not perish. It's like this. So when do you know it? Well, we got this. You need to know it. And so you never know it. Now, picking up if I can, verse 6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts, and to bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what are we looking at? We're looking back, God. Now, God, you're going to do wonderful things in our life. And you have a wonderful, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. And what you do and how you do in your menu and the way you do things is beyond our comprehension. We can't even understand it, God. And so therefore, God, what are we doing? We're sitting there and getting it and understanding it a little better in the sense that, God, it's about you and you're always there. So it isn't a question of figuring out how's it going to be next week or what's the test going to be or work, homeschool, whatever you're doing. No, it isn't about God, it's just you. And we're always in your presence. And the future, and what is known and unknown, is it no problem for you. It's for me, God, I don't know. But it isn't a question of that. You're the shepherd of the sheep. And you take them down the cord of time, and they shall not want. So God, what are we doing? What you told us to do in the first place. To trust you with all our heart. That's what David did. Pour out your soul, with all of your soul, into his wonderful person. Psalm 62. God, you got to help us. So here we are. And we're always in your presence. Face to face. No mask. No, it can't be a mask. No. No, sir. No, sir. We're saved by grace. God, we aren't coming with a covering. You aren't covered, God, and we aren't covered. Face to face, God, we're part of your body. The liver, the pancreas, the lungs, and all of the different things, parts of the body. We're part of that body. Face to face, face to face. Very personal, very direct, very awesome, God. And what makes all of that work? What makes it all work in the light of our existence? Your presence. It's about you, God. It's just about you. And the table you do, and how you do, and what you do, and when you do it. And God, make it work out for your honor and glory as only you can. In the face of Jesus Christ, verse 17 of chapter 3, and the Lord is that, 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, wonderful freedom. Verse 18, but we all with open face, often covering, clear, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. God, we are not going to be. And we are what we are, but we're not going to be that very long because we're changing. So what we're going to be, God, you have that in mind. So we aren't anymore. Well, you got saved. Get saved, you're a new creature. Wonderful. And you begin the process of change. And whatever you were a year ago, you should be changing. Changing as you go down the corridor of time, walking, looking to God, and changing. And what you are now, you are not going to be tomorrow, are you? In fact, if the Lord, you sang it, the Lord comes, and you're not going to be anymore what you are, you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. To be like him. So whatever you are, you aren't. You aren't going to be very long what you are because you're changing. Now, that's one of, I'm not heading to the dirt. I don't mind giving my body to the dirt. I think it's a very noble thing, and I don't think you should get paid for giving your body to the dirt. I don't think you need to make any money. I think I would just go and lay down and give it to the dirt. That's where you came from. It didn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything to leave it, and you don't need it anyway because you're going to go and leave everything totally behind. And then we'll look at you in the casket, or look at us in the casket, and see the blood, the brains, the bones, the body, but no more person. Person's all gone. Yep, all gone. And then you pay $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to put it in the ground. And too bad, well, forget that. I was going to tell you there's ways to get cheaper, but forget that. Now, anyway, now, so here we are looking over to James. James in chapter 1. And trying to get us to understand a little bit God. It's about you and a wonderful relationship we're supposed to have to you. And face to face. Uh-huh. So we don't want to get tied up and hung up with what happened? Well, boy, do you understand what I've got? My problems and my predicaments and my job, my home, my school, my growing up, my pain, my pleasures and all of those different things, my plans. We got them. And how they're working out, God knows, because we haven't got them worked out yet. We're in the process. So we can guess and try to manage them and manipulate them and maneuver them. We can try to do all that. But when we're done, wouldn't it have been easier just to say, God, I'm looking to you to work it all out. I thank you for the process and for the results that you have in mind. That's what I want to have happen. Now, so here's James. And you'll notice, please, picking up verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is unto the man, beholding his natural face in a glass. And you don't put a cover over your face when you look in the mirror. You look at your face without a mask, I think. So when you do that, because you're trying to see your face, and if you're trying to see your face, then you don't want a mask, sliding down the whole movement, looking to God's word, verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, remember what you just read in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18:17, liberty, the perfect law of liberty. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, freedom, wonderful freedom, truth will set you free, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. So you keep looking in the mirror, and the mirror's guiding you. Looking in the mirror of God's word, I look in the mirror of God's word. And as I look in the mirror of God's word, I'm looking. God, what do you want? I'm a new creature. I'm being changed. The trial and everything I go through is to educate, enlighten me, help me to grow, to know, etc. We're looking at all those things. To grow and to know. So as I keep looking at God, I evaluate, because your thoughts and ways are higher than mine by to heaven's height. So I'm looking, God. And the more I read, the more I look, it's about me. It's about me, God. And as I read and look about me and trust me, trust God, and as I do that, I'm being changed. What am I being governed by? I'm being governed by an understanding. I'm just me. That's all. And so as I look at the Bible and keep looking, I don't look and close it. You keep looking in a reasonable understanding, and you keep looking and doing, and that's what you keep doing. And you're changing, because your thinking is changing. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And your thinking's changing. As your thinking changes, what's happening, you see it differently. You talk about it differently. You feel about it differently. It isn't the same anymore. So God, here we are looking, and God gives us his word, his menu. And remember we said, without you turning there, back over to John 4 and that, the Lord Jesus said, remember they said, it's lunchtime, he must have got a sandwich somewhere. We shared that on Wednesday and stuff. And of course, they were trying to say, it's hungry, you should get something to eat, Lord. And the Lord said, I have food to eat and drink that you know not of. My Father, my food is the will of God. I don't need food. And we already know what? The kingdom of heaven is not about food. Your life isn't about food. It isn't about food. It isn't about clothing. It isn't about that. It's all earth stuff that we do. And it's going to end up all just like this again. So it isn't about that. Your relationship to God has nothing to do with anything except God. And since God is your life, then it makes no it, nothing. It isn't going to make a difference. And you have to get there to understand that, so that you do it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so in the light of the table, looking to God, and what do we know then? If we know we're going to look to God practically, it comes out good. What do you know? Well, but over to Romans chapter 8, do it, if you like, and lock it in. God, what do we know? We're looking to you. We aren't looking to what's happening today, or how my life is going, or what's on that table. I'm going to eat what's on that table because I want your will. And therefore, because I'm eating what's on that table, chapter 8, sliding over to verse 028, as you know, and we know that all things, all, A-L-L, things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God, that doesn't mean, God, here you are in the world, surrounded by evil, darkness, your own body, your sin nature, and all of that happening, and all of that in our little life, here it is, now God. And so looking to you, what are we going to do? All things work together for good, sliding down verse 29, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image, to be formed, his like, conformed, to be like, conformed to the image of his son. God's changing us. So what we were last week, we aren't, we're being changed. A change, just like little, we grew up, we were little, and we grew up and got full adults, and we changed. Spiritually, we're changing. We should be changing. And God, all things work together for good. So the table, it isn't so much you make a big issue about how your life is going or how everything seems to be fitting into your life. All of that's there. That's just the menu. That's just what's being served up at 2 o'clock this afternoon or 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's just what's being served up. The issue is God, who allows it to be served up and who works it out. And that's how you get through the serving. So the serving doesn't disturb you so much, because it's awful hard to have that and understand that, God. So you're going to do a wonderful thing. That's right. I'm going to go. All things work together for good. Over to John, and you're going to do that, right. Now, God, you're going to be working in our life, that's right. Over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew in chapter 5. And the blessed believer, looking to God, in chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in O. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, salt isn't salty, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing. What good's it? No good anymore. But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men, the salt is no good anymore. That's right. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. That's what Governor Bradford, remember, and the Pilgrims. That was one of his objectives, to build a lighthouse, as it were, so the world could look and see what was happening over in Plymouth, to see what God was doing. That was his plan. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Wow. Let your light, verse 16, so shine before men that they may see your good works. They don't want to see. Remember, Moses had to have his face cut. They didn't want his face. They don't want to see Moses' glowing face. They just don't want to see God in Moses. They don't want to see it. And they didn't either, except when he spoke to them about God. Let your light, verse 16, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, don't put your light under a bushel. What are you going to do? You're a little light. I'm going to cover it. No, that's what you don't do. You're trying to have it visible. What's the sense of having it lit and then hide it? It's to be seen. Your life is to be seen. But people don't want to see that life. But God does. God wants it. It's your reason you're here, is to be a light in the darkness, Philippians chapter 2. To be a light in the darkness. That's what it's about. And you need to be that. So don't, it isn't about trying to, I don't want to be offensive. You are going to be offensive. I want to be tolerant. You don't want to be tolerant. You want to be intolerant to anything that God hates. Right? We're supposed to think of David. David, what do you tell us? I hate what God hates. Do you hate what God hates? Do you hate it? What God hates it? Worldliness. If you love the love of the Father, what? Is not in you. There is no love going in your heart. So you want to be able to exercise. That doesn't mean you aren't gracious and thoughtful and try to be helpful and be a good example where you can and as you can. It doesn't mean that. It means that you want to keep your heart right, which is what we've been trying to say. Over, if you would please, to Philippians. And in Philippians, if I can, chapter 4. And admonition for us. Philippians in chapter 4. And picking up, if I can, please. Verse 11, you'll get it quickly. Here's Paul. Paul, help us. Paul's going to tell us. He's in jail, by the way. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state, whatsoever state I am, to with be content. Now, how did you ever learn to be satisfied? How did you ever learn to be satisfied? Now he's going to help us some more. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, go down, hit the bottom. I know how to abound, go up, and have a good day, bad day, good day. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. To be hungry. What's on the table? Nothing to eat. Nothing. But there's always a reason. Always a reason for whatever's on that table. And the only way you'll understand the reason of what's on that table is to look to God in whose presence you are. And God will give you the peace of God, peace of God which passes all understanding. And you'll be able to go back to your table and count us 7 million and be at peace. And look to God. That's what you're going to do. Whether I'm hungry or not. God, is that how you teach me? That's how you teach. And God, what are you doing that for? The world's looking. The world's looking. They want to see. The world's looking. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let God work it out so that in my humbling and falling and rising and falling and having and not having, God, I'm learning to what? Trust you. So when they see you what? Trusting God. Believing, a believer that is believing. That's rare. A believer that is believing. That's a rare thing. And they see it. That's what they see. That's an awesome thing. It is. And you have to let it work out. You know, I don't want you to see I'm sad. No, if I'm sad, I'm sad. If you get the plague, you get the plague. Whatever you do, God allows whatever. But I'm not looking to whatever that's on the table. I'm looking to God. In closing, over with 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians again in chapter 4. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father that says, I hope you don't bring up all those things to me. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? I hope you don't do that. I want you to just relax. The world does that. I hear the world. I hear all that talk and stuff. But hey, I want to just enjoy your presence. So don't. So God, have we got enough to pay for the hamburger? Is this thing that's happening right now in my life, is that going to come out all right? I look at it. I don't know. I look at God, and I do know. I look at it. I look at the world, evil and darkness around me. I look at it, but then I don't know how it's going to go. What's going to happen to me? Till I look at God. And that's all right. We'll see that tonight. I know you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause, here we are in this body, we faint not, though our outward man, physical, blood, brains, bones, all of it is perishing. Yep. So it's all, we already did that. You came in with dust and you're going out with dust. So don't get too hoppity up, you know. I don't care who you are, and you may be the whatever. Now, verse 16. We faint not. Though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what we're looking at, God. That's what you're going to take care of. Make sure we're fed and understanding so that we're changing and growing. What we were or what we are, we are not going to be. What we are going to be is going to have to take place at your soon return. Verse 17. And in the process, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So God, you have a wonderful plan in mind. He does. It isn't here, it's there. It's with God. Here we are with God. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to take you to be, remember our Lord Jesus said it. I'm just waiting, longing, another way to word. I'm longing to have you home. I want you to see my glory. I want you to see in my Father's house and many mansions and abiding places. I want you to be able to see what I made possible for you. And you need to discover it here so you can enjoy it all the way till you get there. That's all. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't think you're going to solve. Verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen. Oh, but we do look. We do look at the news. We should. We should understand, take care of our bodies and do everything we should. But we overly do it. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God, we're looking at your wonderful invisible presence. And we only are visible because we have a body. Without our physical body, we're the same. We just can't see us. Wow. Now, God, that's where we are. You're going to work a high, low, cut us down, raise us up. But it isn't about what's going to serve us today or this next week, or doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever you're going to have, doesn't matter. God, it isn't about that. The only way I handle what's on my table properly is by understanding who put it on the table. God did. Who's going to make it work out? Who knows how to make it work out? Who understands it even? God, you do. Isn't that good? What do you understand? We just read that. Our light affliction. What's light affliction? Now, God knows what that is. God knows. Well, who knows what that means? What's the interpretation say? Did you look up the interpretation? Did you look up the interpretation? And you need to do some of it. Understand best we can. Now, when we're all done, best we can. What do we always know? When we're all done, I got it. What do you say to yourself? God, make it work like you meant it to. God understands it. Isn't that good? You and I don't make it work. God does. And it's God's understanding of what he said. Well, that's an interpretation. Oh, no, I don't care what it is. God said it, and he means it, and he's going to do it. And that's what you want. So when you read the word, say, oh, I don't understand that. But God does. Who's going to make it work out? God. And you relax. And even though it's a couple of minutes after 12, relax. We'll sing a stanza, and we'll close, and you can go home and eat your hot dog with thanksgiving. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy grace and thy word and thy work. So deal with us. Thank you very, very much for loving us. God, give us an understanding of the wonderful simplicity, the marvelousness of being alive on planet Earth, of being able to be in the middle of this time in history, a momentous time where changes and things are coming to climaxes. God, wonderful things. And we're here, God. We could have been somewhere else, some other time, but we're here. So God, thank you very, very much for caring. Help us understand, Spirit of God. Drive it home to our head and our heart that we would be the beneficiaries and that we'd be a little light to our children, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, work, home, school, a little light in the darkness to see the reality of your awesome person. And our God will thank you. In Christ's name, amen.